So, are you ready for burgers?
I'm ready for burgers.
Okay.
Yeah. Skilo in the house. Giving shots out to all the homies out there. You know how we do it. Six foes. Rag tops. Cadillacs. This is how it sounds.
Two men.
It's the Montreal Burger Report with Ed Hocko,
also known as Blark,
and Chris Zeke Hand.
You got to be a Big Mac, McGilty, a quarter pounder with some cheese fillet, a fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a happy meal. Milkshake, black coke, and bigger, larger, smaller size, chicken oriental with salad on the side. I'm a Big Mac, McGilty, a quarter pounder with some cheese fillet, a fish, a hamburger.
Good day and welcome to episode 7, part 5 of the Montreal Burger Report. In this episode, our heroes... Ed Hocko,
also known as Blark,
and Chris Zeke Hand discuss the La Mer a Boire experience and find that while on the surface it initially appears nice, once you dive deeper, not only is it not nice, but various parts could be described as disagreeable or unpleasant.
Oh.
After having enjoyed themselves at Le Saint Bach and having heard such glowing recommendations, this came as quite the surprise. Le Saint Bach is located at 1749 Saint-Denis. It is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. on weekdays and 1 p.m. on weekends. The phone number is 514-680-8052, and their website is www.lesaintbach.com. La Mer a Boire is at 2049 Saint-Denis and is also open 7 days a week from noon Tuesday through Friday and 2 p.m. all other days. Their phone number is 514-282-7448, and their website is amerabar.com. The Montreal Burger Report is a radio show, podcast, pod, something or other, whereupon Blark and Zeke go out, have a couple of burgers, some beer, and in very generalized terms try to inform you about the wide and wonderful world of burgers in Montreal.
Toppings-wise, this, you know, I have to say, I haven't noticed the bacon.
No, apparently...
There's supposed to be bacon on this burger, right?
Apparently, I'm supposed to have a red pepper. I saw it.
I did see the one piece of red pepper on it.
I saw it as well.
They could have been a little more generous.
Well, no, I'm not worried about... generous, not generous, it could have been tastier. And I think it was more put there for looks.
Right. I know from experience making burgers at home and stuff that I love roasted red peppers.
Mm-hmm.
However, the flavor is very subtle. You stick it on something like a lamb burger and it's just lost. You don't even see it.
All right. There's the mayonnaise that they stuck on here. It's also not a good thing. And then get the meats, it's also like, it looks like your bun is toasted.
It is. Is yours not?
It does not appear to be. Or it might not have just been toasted enough.
Yeah, it looks like they put the, you see the hash marks on the bun match the hash marks on the patty, so they just toss it on the same grill, I guess. It's a little sloppy. You know, it's starting to fall apart. I've eaten maybe two-thirds of it, and it's starting to fall apart in my hand. I can't really identify the shape anymore.
Keep opening it and closing it.
Yeah, maybe it's
putting
that.
Putting it down, taking it up.
It's kind of like some kind of mayonnaise in there. There's no mustard at all. I like mustard on a burger.
Notice how I have, like, one large drip. And there is just to talk. There's no crumble factor whatsoever here. And
you can't really have a crumble factor on a burger that's so thin, though. And that's part of the problem, right? Crumble factor is the crumble of the bun or of the patty?
The patty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so crumble of the patty, but it's Dick Ann's does have a crumble factor.
Sure, yeah. Okay. I take it back.
No, I think it's more in terms of one of the reasons why, these are block. I would guess, he says, while speaking with his mouth full, is that... they took the spatula and squished the hell out of the burgers.
That's a big mistake.
Uh-huh.
You often see that in the burger, when in the grill room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guy, the burger's on the grill. Guy takes a spatula, presses down. You get this big dramatic flare-up.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, you're squishing out all the juices.
Mm-hmm.
As I was finishing off my burger, and I did finish it, do you remember on my first couple of bites, I said something was throwing me off?
Uh-huh.
I think it's... It's basically, it had a bit of a burnt taste on it. I don't know if your Lamburger had this, but it's sort of a greasy burnt taste.
Yeah, to my palate, it would be sort of like a charred thing.
But it's the kind of thing, that's part of the reason why it smelled so good, because it was just balancing on that fine line between, you know, just right and too much. Mm-hmm. It smelled great, but the problem is, when you eat the thing, let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. A few years ago when I moved into my current house and got myself a fancy barbecue to put out on my, a little deck in the backyard, a friend of mine came over and he saw me barbecuing something. And he asked me if I was going to, methodically, meticulously clean the grill every time I use it, or would I let it develop its own flavor? And, my answer was that I would clean it, but not meticulously. Huh? Let it develop a bit of its own flavor.
Sort of like a cast iron pan.
You build up a seasoning and stuff like that. Well, I get the impression that maybe in the kitchen here, they take that concept a little too far. And what you have is a grill that is maybe a bit too greasy. And so now the burgers that are put on it, and probably, as you said, pressed down with the spatula, and it's picking up just a little too much of that.
A little bit too much of yesterday's grease would go
a little way. Too much. It could be we come in tomorrow, and it could be completely different. Maybe they only clean the grill once a week, and right now we're on the day before they clean the grill or something. I don't know, but there was a greasy burn flavor on the burger that. At first glance, is a good thing because it's one of those, toasty, greasy flavors that kind of makes you salivate a bit. But by the time you're halfway through your burger, you're thinking, okay, it's too much.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the white beers, which I imagine the Hefe Weizen is.
Yeah. I was actually tempted by the Elephant. It's a Scottish ale.
Uh-huh.
The only thing is, what's the famous Scottish ale? Is it Tartan? No. McEwan's Scotch Ale. I hate the stuff. Okay. Can't stand it.
I'm trying to find some nice things about this place. I've heard good things about it.
Let me tell you a thing or two about Czech Pilsners. Not like I know so much.
I asked them point blank, so what's the best beer that you would recommend? And then in having tasted it, came up with this is the least offensive beer.
Right. Now you're somebody who likes lighter beers, though, right? You're like for Boreal. No, you don't like Boreals at all.
No,
but
no.
You tend to be drinking like paler beers most of the time, right?
Except for the fact that I was drinking the sweet stout.
That's true, yeah. Going from the stout to this is, something tells me if you came in here tomorrow night with a fresh, untainted palate and drank it, maybe you'd like it more.
Possibly. I also think coming in, it was knowing that this is like they brew their own stuff.
Right.
I was expecting something that had more flavor.
A little more flavor, yeah. But,
and so
the thing is, going from a stout to a pilsner is, that's like going from a Cabernet Sauvignon to a Chablis. Uh-huh. You're not going to taste a Chablis at all.
But this one, the Elephant, which is, the Scottish brown ale, which only has 3.5% alcohol.
Yeah, it's light.
Uh-huh. This does have flavor.
Can I have a sip?
Yes.
And you're welcome to have a sip of mine, by the way.
You're having Fin de Siècle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice. It's light. It's not. It doesn't have that kick you in the teeth skunkiness that the McEwan's has. I don't like so much.
To me, it's a certain thing. I just realize with the beers, especially in places that make their own.
Yeah.
The flavor. If it's a bad flavor, I think that's better than no flavor. I just want somebody saying, "Okay, this is
there's
what
a flavor."
Like
yeah. But what I'm saying to you though is that maybe if you came in with a fresh palate, there might have been more of a flavor on that pilsner than you think. I guess the verdict is Le Mer au Bois, come for the beer, go elsewhere for the burgers.
Come for some of the beers, yes. There, I was actually expecting that the same Bach, given how loud it was and how 20-year-old it was, that this place was going to be better. And I actually realized I haven't had their burgers, I haven't had their nachos. I can put up with the 20-year-olds, but the first beer I've had was no great shakes. It wasn't bad, but it was no great shakes.
Right.
The second beer is not bad. And yes, the burger,
nothing right on, but
it depends on what you want to use to write.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, who knows what makes a place successful or not? Right? It's often some other weird combination of factors other than the beer and the food and stuff like that. This place is a bit of a mystery. The way it's staggered over three layers, mm-hmm. it means that there's no real sense of coherence, you know? Like, when you're in a bar like the... What's it called?
The Saint Buck.
Sir?
Saint Buck.
Saint Buck. When you bar like the Saint Buck, you can look around and see everybody, mm-hmm. you know? And so there's a sense of, you know, being a particular room full of yeah, uh-huh. particular people. But then you get these bars that are, like, composed of, like, many smaller rooms. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you know, it's more intimate, but then when, you know, the music's also loud and the lighting's not so good and stuff like that, you know, the sense of intimacy is lost. I mean, if you plunk this bar down in the middle of some town, you know, off in the sticks that doesn't have a decent bar, it would be, like, the best place ever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know? But right here on Saint-Denis in the Quartier Latin, you gotta wonder what it's, you know, what its reputation's made of or made from. You know, you were complaining a little bit about the last bar we were at, St. Bach, because it was full of 20-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you look at the table full of people that just came in behind us, it's full of 15-year-olds. The only thing that remains to be seen is if we said anything interesting. Maybe it would have been good to lose it.
Can I save it?
And can you save it?
Is there anything you'd like to say in wrapping up, winding up?
It's a little too early for me to really give a final verdict because, you know, it needs to form and percolate. But ultimately, it was a bit of a disappointment. You know, the bun was not very soft and not very fresh. The meat was too thin, and it had a weird scorched, greasy taste from the grill that I didn't like very much.
Okay.
And I still haven't seen the bacon.
I did see the red pepper. I didn't taste it.
How about you? What would you say?
I'm thinking now, yeah, the beer is all right. I'd say I started thinking the beer was good so that we could then start here and go elsewhere. I'm now starting to think maybe the beer is acceptable and they just have a good PR person.
Could be that. So in other words, you're not so impressed?
No, not in the least bit.
All right.
Next time we go elsewhere.
Got it. So, and there are a number of places in this neighborhood that we will be checking out.
Thank you for listening to part 5 of episode 7 of the Montreal Burger Report. Ed Hocko,
also known as Blork,
and Chris Zeke Hands visit to La Mer Aboire and Le Saint Bach for burgers and beer. Next week, Ed Hocko,
also known as Blork,
and Chris Zeke Hand get nostalgia as they visit the legendary Montreal watering hole / dive known as Biff Tech. For beers before crossing the street to try the new kid on the block, buns for burgers. So don't touch that dial, screen, browser, or mouse. Be sure to listen, download, or otherwise enjoy and consume episode 8 of Ed Hocko,
also known as Blork,
and Chris Zeke Hand's Montreal Burger Report. This episode of the Montreal Burger Report was written and produced by Chris Zeke Hand. If you have any ideas, comments, or suggestions, you can be reached by email at montrealburger@gmail.com or on the web at montrealburger.wordpress.com. We'd graciously like to thank CQT for their support, Brad Slide, and Skilo for the music, and you for listening.